All right, Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy literally means the second reading of the law. The second second reading of the law. Nomos, Deuteronomy. And the reason that we're going through this one, it is that because this one is the furthest from the gospel as you could possibly get. It's so well written relating to the law that it shows what's hidden in the Old Testament, which is the gospel. So it's hidden because if you read it, you don't see the gospel. But the way I will preach from this one is I'll show you the gospel, which is hidden. And not only that, it's perspicacious. So perspicacity means, as a noun or a verb or an adjective, it's so clear if you read it in the right way. So I'm not reading it just in the English, because on the surface you won't see the gospel. But I will read it from reading it not by the letter of the law, which kills, but by the spirit of the law, which gives life. If you read the Old Testament by the spirit of the law, you find out it's the gospel. It's just as clear after reading the New Testament. This is the New Testament, but it's hidden. Deus absconditus. It's hidden beneath. God is hidden, and his message is hidden. Deus absconditus. And so the reason that you read this is because you're able to understand the Old Testament because you read the New Testament. But you'll read the type in the Old Testament for the antitype, opposite, in the New Testament. Very clear in the New Testament. It's perspicacious, meaning it'll be clear. But it's not so clear in the Old Testament. You'll make a mistake because you'll read it according to the letter. And so when it says the word command, it actually means promise. So I will read this part of Scripture so you never get mixed up in reading the Old Testament. It's nothing more than the gospel. So the gospel is what the whole Bible is about. Even when you read the law, I command you thus and so. No, it's actually saying, I promise you. So, are you with me so far? Yeah. So never read the Bible by the letter, because it's going to mix you up. And that's why no one can read this Bible. Because they read the Old Testament, it says, you're supposed to do good works. Not only is that not possible, it's never been done. No one has ever read the Old Testament and not be mixed up. You're going to be mixed up every time. So it's designed to make you think you're supposed to do something to please God, when the New Testament says the opposite. So you might think they're opposite. Uh-uh, they're not. One is the type and the other is the antitype. So I will read it in such a way that you'll see the gospel. And I'm going to interpret it that way. Because the gospel is the good news and the law is the not so good news. In other words, it's totally 100% insufficient, imperfect, humanistic, and it'll lead you astray. That's why the Jews misunderstood the Old Testament. And I would say it's rare that you're going to hear what I have to say, which no one else can interpret that way. Because they'll read it and get all mixed up. But a command is actually a promise. So I think I told you, I don't know if I told you or not, but I'll say it again. Which is older? The Old Testament? I know a couple of you know it. Or the New Testament? Which is older? Which is primitive? All the way from the beginning. How does it start? The Old Testament or the New Testament? So the Old Testament would be the letter. If you read it, Old Testament, because it's called old. But it actually is not. The New Testament is not only older, it's ancient. So every time you read it, if you read it wrong, you'll think you are supposed to do something for God. You will always think that. Because he says, I command you. I'm not tricking you. I'm actually reading it the way God intended it to be read when he gave it to Moses. Preach this law. Tell the people this law. And he preached the gospel.
Amen.
Totally taught the gospel. And as I say, it would be very rare that anyone would preach out of the Old Testament and find the gospel. But the Old Testament is hidden underneath the law. And if you don't see the blessings of God are underneath the law, then you can read the law in the right way. If they're underneath, then someone ought to preach what God originally intended. You cannot do the law. It's impossible. And the Old Testament says God can do the impossible, but you can only do the possible. So if you read it wrongly, you would think you could do something that God commanded you to do, but it actually is a promise. So, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. How many know that's not good news? In other words, if you don't keep this, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. Because nobody's ever has. No one ever. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, New Testament. So if all have sinned, then all you can do as a human being is confess your sin. Because everyone here has sinned. Ever since the moment, the nanosecond you were conceived in the womb, God already wrote his name on you, according to the New Testament. And that name, according to the New Testament, is, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. I want you to be righteous as I'm righteous. I want you to be good, like I'm good. Everything God said, he's the measure. So God is opposite to all of human history. Opposite. Your culture will lead you to hell. Anything that man has done will lead you straight to hell. So many will perish unless you pray for them. And if you don't pray for them, then they won't understand the love of God. So we can do what the Jews could never do and never have, unless they did it by faith. Abraham was the father of faith. And so by Abraham be called by God the father of faith, anyone who has faith, because the just shall live by faith. Read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both say the same thing. The just shall live by... You want to be just before God? Don't do anything for him. Let God do everything for you. Don't do anything for him. Let God do everything for you. I am not among you, Jesus said in the New Testament, not as one to be served, but as one who wants to serve you. That's a good parent. That's a good Jesus. That's a good person. Now, how did you do that? You didn't. Even when you love your neighbor, you actually didn't. When you love your neighbor, now love one another. You've never done that. Because man does not want to be like God. He wants to be God. Every man that's ever born. So that sounds like a contradiction. Because you're trying to please God. You can't. Do you know why you can't? Why you can never please God?
He's already pleased.
And not only that, you couldn't do it even if you tried. So you've never loved God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and loved your neighbor as yourself. And yet it's the Old Testament law. So the Old Testament law, if you read it by the letter, it'll say this. You failed. You did not love me as I loved you. You're not righteous as I wanted you to be. And so I have to kill everybody. Or let you kill yourself because you cannot do what God asked you to do. So whenever it says do this, it doesn't mean that. It means the opposite. Let God do it for you. Let God do it not just for you. Let him also do it. How? Since you can't do it. Whatever he says to do, it's actually saying, let Jesus do it for you, then let him do it in you, then let him do it through you. And then men, when they see your good works, they won't thank you. Have you known that? When you love people, they ignore you. Because people are selfish. They totally want to take care of themselves because they don't want to be like God. They want to be God. They want control over everything. Everything. God help me to throw this basketball in the basket. I know I didn't shoot enough hoops, but help me. You're trying to achieve something that you'll never achieve. And you'll go straight to hell. Or Hades. But Jesus said the words in the New Testament, which are wonderful. I will build my church. And you're not going to help me. Because you cannot. You cannot do what you cannot do. So everybody here reads the Old Testament. You're going to read it wrong because you thought now you're guilty because you sinned. No, you're guilty because Adam and Eve sinned. And no one can escape that. So I'm not going to sin. Little kids will say that. I didn't do wrong today. They're completely mistaken. And that's why there's war and there's divorce and there's all kinds of problems in the world today because people won't say the truth. The truth is, I have sinned. Don't say anything more. Just, I have sinned. I confess that I sinned today. I confess that I was jealous today. I confess that I was angry today. I confess that I was impatient today, etc. So all you can do under the law is confess your sins, but you can't say, and I won't do it again. I'm going to try real hard tomorrow to love everybody. You cannot. Well, at least I'll love God with all my heart. No, you cannot. Now, can you see why we're a small church? If I would preach this, everyone would hate it. But I'm telling you the truth. And so I'll read the Old Testament in such a way that you'll see the gospel is hidden in the Old Testament law. But it's buried underneath. You cannot see it on the surface. What you see is more real. What you see is more real than something invisible. Not true. Whatever you see is not real. Well, whatever you don't see, that's real. Can you see how God wants everyone mixed up? God deliberately wrote it in such a way that an unbeliever cannot read this Bible and make any sense out of it. So, all he's doing is prophesying what he's doing for you. So whenever he says you, he doesn't mean you. He means not your old you, he means your new you. It's a prophecy. You shall not have any other gods before me. You see how I changed it? It says, this is the way you should read it. You shall not have any other gods before me. Otherwise you perish, go to hell. But that's not the way to say it. So I'll say it this way. You shall not. It's a promise. You shall not have any other gods before me. That's who I am. That's my being. I'm actually a man after God's own heart. Are you? It depends on how you read it. So for the world, if you were a humanist scholar and knew the languages and knew how to, you know, say something, you would think the world was ambiguous. You would think the world is ambiguous because it'll say, be ye holy as I'm holy, and you can't. So the only thing you can say is, I can't. I've tried and I just can't. Dan and I have had talks on that, Dan, that the very thing that you want to do, you will never do. But the very thing you don't want to do, you will do. Well, I'm trying to be good. I don't think you can find that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Trying. You can try all you want to stop sinning and try all you want to do something good, but it'll never be counted by God. So, how did you get that sin? Well, the devil deceived Adam and Eve and told them something not true because they couldn't read it. They couldn't read the gospel underneath the law. He said, don't have any other gods, and they did. Don't have any idols in your life, and they did. So, whatever he told you, you have not been preached the truth, which will set you free. So, if I'm a man of God, a man after God's own heart, the only way I could get that is if somebody preached that to me in the correct way. So I'm going to do that today. All right. Does that make sense? So don't worry about the fact that you can't understand what God is saying. Because you cannot. It's upside down. Everything is upside down. And he hides the good news underneath the bad news. So when he says you will perish, that means Jesus will be crucified. Did you hear what I just said? When it says, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die or perish or whatever. That's Jesus. Only Jesus can keep the law because he's God. And God always does good things at all times. Now this destroys the religion of Judaism. It destroys the religion of Catholicism. It destroys the humanism that man can do a good work. Man has never done a good work, and you never will, even in all eternity. You'll never do a good work. So when a good work is done, you knew, I didn't do that. So you want a relationship with Jesus, who as a husband will marry you and cause you to do all those good works, but yet you didn't do them. You never did them. Even for all eternity, even after you're in heaven with Jesus, yours is borrowed. Your righteousness is an alien righteousness, comes from heaven. Now, the reason why no one wants to teach this is because you couldn't be proud. So they let people lie to themselves and to their neighbors by saying, well, I tried my best. It doesn't say anything in the Bible about try your best. It says, be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Be ye holy as I'm holy. Be ye righteous as I'm righteous. So he's the standard. And how many know you cannot be God? So if he's the standard, you'll never do what he just did. He has to do it for you and then in you, and then he'll perfect you in love. So when you do it, you can't thank yourself. Jim, you did a good work. You never will do a good work, ever. Now, how many are already disappointed in this message without even hearing it? Because everyone knows it. But did you know that Jesus said these words to interpret the Old Testament correctly? God is good, and no one else is good but God. If no one else is good but God, how can you do a good work? Or there's another, I can name a lot of scriptures. Isaiah 60, I think it's 64, 6. And it will say something like this: All your righteousness is a filthy rag. I won't have to describe what I just said, but you just take my word for it that it's in the Bible. Everything you do to please God won't work, because God wants to be a good father and do everything for you. He doesn't want you to work. He wants to just give you a free gift. Everything that you have is a gift from God. If you've been justified by faith, it's a gift of God. If you repented of your sin, that's a gift of God. In other words, everything God gives is a gift. Now think about it. You come from a family, and at Christmas time, you're only 2 years old, and you got a gift. So what can you say to your parent? Thank you. That's worship, right there. Thank you, because it's a gift. How much do you pay for a gift when it's a gift? No, the little kid he's not even thinking of that. You know, and he's just so excited because you have a gift. But it's a gift, and you don't pay for gifts. They're gifts. They're deliberately, you know, the donee got a gift from the donor. And so I am the recipient of the gift, and all I can say is, well, what can you give your parent? What can you give a billionaire? What can you give anybody? Can't give anything. Because it's a free gift. So he says, your flight has been prepaid. What? Huh? And so, don't I have to pay for a ticket? No, it's been prepaid. What? And everyone is amazed at that. That's just your father loving you, always doing good for you, always being righteous for your benefit, for your pleasure, for your happiness, for your safety, for everything. It all came from God. So no one else on earth is able to give you anything. And when they do, that was God. And when they do, that was God. He provided the money that purchased that, or whatever the gift is. But in God's case, when he gives you something, he's given you himself. Did you know that in the beginning, God wanted you to marry Jesus from the very beginning? And the whole Bible, I can preach forever on this topic, because it's the only topic in the whole Bible, is you're going to marry Jesus someday. You'll be the bride. Today you're betrothed. But tomorrow, that betrothal turns into not just being called a husband, but you'll actually consummate in heaven. But he did that. He entered into your life. And now you are holy. But it's, what kind of holiness is it? It's a borrowed holiness. In other words, as long as you're married to him, you can bear fruit. But the minute you stop being in relationship with Jesus, you won't bear any fruit. Now think of then the Jewish people. They thought that when they did something, God would thank them. No. You thank God for doing everything. He doesn't thank you, and you don't thank yourself. Well, I did that. God is pleased with me. No, he's not. Because he's already loved you from before the world was created. Before, prior to, you've already been blessed by God. So why aren't you happy all the time? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. Why? Because God did everything. Before there was a world. Before there was the earth, before there was the heavens, before there was anything, he already did everything. So you wake up like little kids do, and they don't know anything about anything. They don't know anything. They can't even speak your language. But in a year's time, or maybe a year and a half, they'll begin sentences and talk your language. How did they learn it so fast when they didn't know anything the day before? They just do. They just look at you, behold you, and they're changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And it's such an exciting thing to be a little kid because you don't know anything. And all of a sudden you know the language your parents are speaking, or maybe two languages which your parents are speaking. And how did you do that? Kids are smart. But that's because God made you that way. He made you to be a recipient of all his blessings. So you're created in the image and likeness of God, but you are not created to be God. What does everyone want? They want to be God. Everyone wants control. Everyone wants to understand everything. Everyone wants to be in charge of everything. It won't work. Well, if I work real hard. No, you can work real hard and you'll go to hell. And you know, people that work really hard to achieve something, they end up miserable, on dope, on alcohol, on opioids. I don't care what it is. Working hard is just going to tire you out. But if you just simply be a child, except you become like a little child, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Now, have I confused you completely? Because I want to. I'm trying to make you confused so that you'll listen to the message today. All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, so let's read the third chapter. This third chapter is, I love this one. I could do the second and third and fourth and fifth and so on. But I'm just trying to summarize this. But I like this third chapter. So what it says here, and there's no presuming anything. Everything is perspicacious. So perspicacious means it's crystal clear and there cannot be two understandings of Scripture. Yet we have all these 400 denominations. So how can you have two understandings? You cannot. It's impossible. That's why every denomination cannot tell you the truth. Because there can only be one interpretation, God's. And God's interpretation is that you read through the law and then see on the other side of the law, there's a blessing. And if you don't read the scriptures that way, you can't be happy all the time. But I know, as a pastor, that God called me into the ministry, and I know that what I say can't be ambiguous. I can't speak in different languages. I just have to say the truth, and nothing but the truth, the whole truth. And then you have authority. Otherwise, there's no authority. If there's two interpretations, then you'd be mixed up, and there'd be no authority for what you just said. Go to your room right now. Take that shirt off. You know, when you do that, nothing makes sense unless you have scripture behind everything you say. But if there's two meanings, then it's worthless. And not only did the Roman Catholic Church do that, they were ambiguous. For over 1,000 years, they were ambiguous. And so you lost the initial primitive church. You lost what Jesus did and the apostles wrote of. It's there. They have the same text. They don't have a different text. They read the same text we read. But they believe in scripture plus tradition. And which one is the greater? Scripture or tradition? They never solved it. They just left it ambiguous. And if you'd say to them, well, which one is higher? They can't answer the question because it would destroy the control they have over their citizens, you know, over their customers, over the people that go. And so they can't solve that thing. They just leave it ambiguous, say, well, no, that scripture applies there. Well, that one doesn't. This one here's here. Now, it's so confusing that you don't know what you should do. And that's done deliberately, just like lawyers. They write things that are ambiguous. It gives anyone who's a lawyer or a judge the right to say yes or no. They don't want it to be clear, even when it is clear. And so you say, am I free or am I a slave? They can't answer the question. Don't you think God has a sense of humor? Because he's only doing it so that no one can read this and read it correctly if you don't read it the way I'm about to read it. So it's ambiguous to most people. I don't know what he said. It just went over my head. And pastors don't care because they get paid anyway. They don't care. They don't care that you didn't understand what they... So many pastors are not teachers at all. They just preach it, you know, receive Jesus, you know, and so on. And it gets people stirred up. I want to receive Jesus. How do you do that? You know, let's do it. Remember one time they asked Jesus, what do we do? And he said, only believe. Oh. I mean, like, yeah, but what do we do? I mean, but what do we do? Everybody wants to do as though that was your achievement in life. It's like being married. I won't explain that. Okay, so the third chapter starts out, and I love this. I love this. Too powerful. Too powerful. All right, see if I can find third chapter. 1, 2, 3. All right. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. All right. Now, this third chapter starts out so strange. So it's a good thing that I'm teaching this, because otherwise you'll be confused. All right. So this one says, 3. Then we turned. Did you hear the gospel? No. Of course, you don't know what he's saying. Because I can read this and you wouldn't understand it. And I can do it, but you wouldn't understand it. But you say, well, he preached on something, third chapter, I guess. But you will not understand it. Now, how many are humbled by that thought that you won't understand what you read? But that's the only way you learn, is so that it destroys all your pride, all your self-confidence. So it destroys it. And you'll only despair. Because I can't understand this. I don't know. What's it saying? I tried to do it and it didn't work. Of course. He meant that to humble you. So the whole point of the law is to destroy all your pride and all your self-confidence. Wow, what is it that people want? Pride and self-confidence. You know, they're proud of themselves because they can read and they can read it. But how do you understand it? So it isn't the text that changes. We have the same text the Catholics have. We have the same text that the Israelis have. Same. It's not changing. It's how you interpret it. If you think it's ambiguous, there's no authority. But if you think it isn't clear, perspicacious. If you don't think it's clear, all we need in the church is to have it be clear. Because you don't make the power of the scriptures come alive. You just say it. And people hear it and they get saved or sanctified or glorified. But they don't know how they did it. They don't know what made it happen. You don't know why. And God won't even tell a pastor that. You just have to learn it the hard way. You'd have to learn it. Gee, I said that and people didn't come forward. Or they didn't get baptized. Or they didn't whatever. Because this is written in such a way that you can't understand it. And yet, when you just hear it. Just hear it. Because it says faith cometh by hearing. If you just hear it, it saves people. If you just hear it, it sets people free. If you just hear it, you can be sanctified and glorified. But I don't know how it works. But you're like a little kid. You don't have to know what you're saying. Little kids just say stuff. water. They just say stuff. And once they get the power of that, I don't want water, I want milk. And so they just learn to say those words, but they say it funny. They'll say wawa or whatever. Or, they don't know how to say it. But yet they grow up because parents care for them. And if they don't, you're going to have a rebel on your hand. Because you didn't... When you have a child, they expect you as a parent to know everything. In other words, they expect you to be God. But you're not God, and you have to explain that to them. I'm not God. I don't know everything. I just want to be like God, but just reflect Him. But I can't be God. But everyone in the whole world wants to be God. They want to be in control. They want to dominate. They want to have some worth that they have. No, you're not going to be proud. You're going to be humbled by God when you read the law. But in the gospel, even if it says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I'll say rejoice, people won't. Have you ever noticed that? You say that and they say, well, you're trying to get me to do something. I'm just saying, God did everything. That's all. God did everything. All right. So, then we turned, they were in the south, and went up the way to Bashan and Og, O-G. The king of Bashan came out against us, and he and all his people to battle at Edrei, a certain place. It's in the south. But the Lord said to me, don't fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. So now the Amorite king was destroyed because God said you can destroy them. Don't, remember he said three tribes don't destroy. In the south was what? Edomites. In the middle is Moabites. And at the top, in the north, it's Ammonites. So those three are relatives. Two of them came from, remember, the woman turned to salt, and then the little girls decided to have the father give them seed. And so one is the Ammonites, and the other is the Moabites. But the other one came from Esau, Jacob and Esau. And Esau then wanted to kill his brother, but yet they reconciled and did bury their father. So that was a little better deal. And the Antichrist may well come from the Edomites. Why? Because traditionally, all the way through history, the Edomites were always enemies of Israel. The biggest enemies they ever had were not the Hittites and the Hivites and all those kind of people. The biggest ones were their own relatives. And he said, when you go through their land, just buy with money. When you need food or when you need drink, buy it. And don't argue with them. Don't do anything with them. And don't kill them. Leave them. Leave them to me. I will take care of them later on my own. So how many know all of those three tribes which hate Israel more than any other nation? The others just wanted to conquer more territory. But these people hated them. They despised them. And they did everything when the Babylonians came down. They helped out Babylon. I mean, they did everything. They destroy Israel like they're doing today in our own country. The Ambiguites, those that want to make the scripture not be clear, they're the ones that will teach you the wrong thing. And it won't work. If you do the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing. And so instead of being happy, you'll be depressed or disturbed or whatever else. And you won't even know what's going on. But you have never heard me ever give bad news to you. Ever. Guaranteed. I only know good news. And I told you this, that when you sin, you will not go to hell because you sin. So Let's have a show of hands. Well, I don't really want to have a show of hands. I'm just saying that. A show of hands, did you ever sin? Because the wages of sin is death. So did you ever sin here? Has anyone ever sinned here? No, I don't want you to raise your hand. Of course you did. And you have a conscience. And say, oh, what he did and what I did, you know, that was I sinned because he sinned. And so on. And that's how people fight all the time. And there's nothing you can do about it. Because unless God does it, it won't be dosed. You can't does what you can't does. But if God says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, you can try it, but it won't work. Marriage is designed never to work without God. But it's designed to work with God. But when it works, you didn't do the work. God did it. So don't change your mate. Don't blame the mate. Blame yourself for being a fool marrying that mate. Because you chose on your own. And what a fool you were to imagine that that person, your love will not change them. The only thing that might change them is get them to church if you can. You know, whatever you have to do, get them there. Because they need to hear it, not understand it. Not even want it. Not even feel it. Just go. Maybe the music turns them on. Maybe, you know, it's this and that and so on and so forth, whatever. But most of the tricks that you come up with don't work. In fact, I'll say, none of them. Because only God can love. If only God loves and no one else is able to love. Because Jesus added that. So if Jesus is the only good person, the only gracious person, the only kind person, the only merciful person, if he's the only one and there's no other, then people are barking up the wrong tree because we have, you know, a beautiful church and so on and so forth, and people attend marble, you know, bathrooms and, you know, gold-plated things. That doesn't work. It doesn't make any difference. When you have Jesus, you don't have to fancy it up. And I know how the whole history of it, but it doesn't matter because no one's going to help you except God. The reason you have a God is because he's the only God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the only God. There is no other God. Catholics didn't disagree with us on that Trinity. They also believe that. But we have no problem with Catholics in that department. And they have the same creeds we have. The Athanasian Creed, the Apostles' Creed, so on and so forth. The same ones. So it's only how you understand what they're telling you, and they think that everybody should do a good work. But man has never done a good work, and never will. Ever, ever, ever. So the only thing you can do is have a relationship with Jesus, who first loved us while we were yet sinners. That's how you became a Christian. Because you said, yeah, I did. But, or you fought it. It doesn't make any difference. There's only one God. And when he says something, he meant that Jesus would do whatever he told you to do. Whatever God told you to do, Jesus will do it. That's a good father. That's a good father. And so, I'm not the father. I'm not the judge. I'm not anything. I'm a zero. And that's why I'm a good pastor. You'll notice in the Bible, he never, ever speaks to ordinary people. He always speaks to people that are very ambitious. You'd have to study it. And you realize that this guy murdered, you know, Joseph, you know, did this. And everybody does something because they're full of, you know, pride. And they're going to try to do something for God to get him to be pleased. Well, he's already pleased. He's always been pleased, as Willis said. He's always been pleased with you. He's never not been pleased with anybody. You're thinking he's talking about behavior. He's not. He's only talking about your heart. All he wants is to give you a new heart. And your old heart is full of darkness. That came from that first sin. But now he just wants to give you the Spirit. And the Spirit will then make you born of the Spirit. So if you're born of the Spirit, you're a new creation. Right? Okay. So here I'm going to go this and teach teach you what it's saying. So he said, don't touch the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. But everyone else I'll give to you. And so is Sihon, Amorite, killed him. And kill him everything, because I've given them into your hands. All their lands, all their children, everything. You have it. So that's what they did. They conquered all those nations. And they didn't do it under Moses. They did not do that under Moses. You remember? He was left in Moab, the place where you cross over and you get baptized, right there. Not next to the Galilee. This is further down, next to Jericho. That little spot in Jericho, that's the spot that if you go up the hill on the other side of the Jordan River, that's where Moses is buried. And no one knows he's buried because he's a lawman. And law is imperfect. Nothing can be perfected by that law. Because that's not the perfect truth. The perfect truth is it's buried underneath the law. So he's buried underneath the law. Because that's a lawman and it's not perfect. Now, I know you can't understand, but I'm just teaching you now. The blessing is hidden under that law. And if you read it by the Spirit, you'd have to be born of the Spirit. Then all of a sudden it makes sense. Because it's just Jesus. Yeshua, 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 which means salvation in the Hebrew. But his name is Yeshua. That's his name. We say Jesus, but that's just an anglicized word. So if everything then is Jesus and you just get to know him, and how do you do it? You don't. You don't do it. It's all in this word. This is the only thing you left is this word. And if you read it, you'll become a believer and you'll have eternal life. That's the first thing he gives you. That's not the prize at the end. That's from the beginning. You have a new heart. How'd you get that? He just said, if you hear my words and you believe that they're true, because it's not ambiguous, it's very clear. Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life, right? So you realize the New Testament is just real clear, but it's hidden in the Old Testament, but it's revealed in the New Testament. And so you just read the New Testament, and then you'll understand the Old Testament. So here it is. So all these kings are given unto Israel in the land of Canaan. All of them you can kill. All of them. All of them. It's an interesting story. But all of them, showing that when God says something, that sets you free forever to be yourself. And let God do everything. Let him do it for you, then let him do it, you know, as you. Let it do it in you, through you. And so God is wanting to do everything because he's a parent. He's your Father in heaven. So Jesus was sent by God to earth in order to give you the true interpretation of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. But many people think like Jesus was a second Moses. No, he's not. He's not a second Moses. He just talked about Moses and he said, he wrote of me. You think that in them you have eternal life, but he only speaks about me. So everything in the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, speaks about Jesus. So if you get Jesus, you get the Father. So it's kind of like two for one. You just get Jesus. He said, well, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. Well, show us the Father will be satisfied. If you've heard me, you've heard him. And you've seen him. We can't see him. What are you talking about? So can you tell the New Testament is confusing as the Old Testament? Because they thought, you know, when I'm a Christian, I'll be a good one. And I'll accomplish something for God. So a lot of people still want to do a good work. Nope, you can't. Jesus is the only one that's good. God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is kind. God is everything. All of those things come from heaven. Everything is in heaven. Nothing on earth will last. It's temporal. It's temporal. Pretty soon, you'll be 80 like me and Peggy. And when you're old like that, you're getting really close. But we don't know exactly what, because some people live to be 105, 10, and so on. But seldom are they 120, but they used to be. But seldom do they get that much because of the food you eat and because you're in public places and you get diseases that way and so on and so forth. So if you have a child and they go to school, public school, they're going to get diseased. Somebody has, flu, you'll all get the flu. That's the way it works, right? So this, don't believe anything in the news. But when you realize that maybe the Chinese are lying. Oh, okay, that's normal. People do lie, okay? And who cares why? But everyone went, well, I wonder why they're doing that. They're probably, listening in on all of your technology. They're doing everything they can to be God. They want to be God. They don't want American dollar to. So the Chinese want their yen to be higher than the dollar, so they can be the government's choice. Whatever government they're dealing with, they want to be the currency that everyone uses. They just can't stand it that America is ahead of them and they have to borrow everything from us. Reverse technology they will want. They can study anything and figure out how you do it. And that's what we did in World War II to figure out how Hitler did it and so on and so forth. This is always the way. So don't worry, you'll never be king. You're never going to rule. Jesus is the only ruler. And he's coming back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He had to come first time. And he did something for you. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Remember John the Baptist said that? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he was the priest. You change the priest, you change the law. You change the priest, you change the law. Hebrews, 7th chapter, verse 12. So, if you change the priest, and now Jesus is our high priest. So, then that the law must be kind to us, must be gracious to us, must bless us, must protect us. Okay, those are just words. Because the church is lukewarm today. They can't teach like I'm teaching you right now. And I am. I'm teaching you right now. What is it? They just say what the words say. I don't fancy it up or have any tricks. And I don't have anything. I just say it. And it works. So I could have 10,000 people, 50,000 people, or whatever. I don't want it. I have enough trouble with just, 30, 40 people. And then since I have two churches, so I double it up. But I don't want big churches like that because I have to raise, $100,000, $50,000 a month. I mean, I know them. And these churches have a Dickens keeping up because the more members they got, then the more money they have and the more corruption they'll have. And then the pastors are worn down. The pastors, but I don't have a problem. Just make sure Dan understands it and everything will work out. Or Judy. I love my job because it's so easy. I don't even work at it at all. Because you can't work. I cannot work because Jesus says he'll do it for me and then in me and then through me. I don't want to cooperate with him. I don't want to be a co-redemptress or I don't want to be a co-anything. I want Jesus to do it all. And to God be the glory. Right? Why? As it works. And so I do nothing about money. I do nothing about anything. And I have no idea how it works. I just tell the treasurer, don't ever tell me who gives what, or I don't want to know anything. And do we have enough money for this? Whatever. Can we do this? No. And since he won't tell me, because I told him not to tell me, because otherwise I might be tempted. How many know God's in charge? So just look to God. If we went broke, you'd never find out about it, because I wouldn't go to you and say, we're broke. I would never do that. It's not your problem. And I don't care that people are giving or not giving. I have no idea who gives what. And I'm not interested in that, right? So I do what I'm to do. Do you know what my job is? I was called by God, so I'd go to the one that called me and say, God, you have any cattle on 1,000 hills that I could borrow a cow or two or a sheep or something? How do you do that? So I wouldn't tell you. I'd just tell the God that called me into the ministry in the first place. He's the only one to talk to. And he can hear me. He can hear me if I just sigh. Oh, what do we do there? I believe God always supplies whatever I have a vision to do, which God told me to do. So I'm not ever worried about anything. I'm fine because Jesus loves me. This I know. And I believe it's his turn to love me, not my turn to love him. That'll never come about. I'll be his child. I'm going to be his wife someday, and I'll just do what my husband wants to do. But I don't do it. He actually does it for me because he's a good husband. So I just do what he says, and I know how to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. How do you do that? By messing up. If you don't know anything, God is right there to teach you something, because everything that he wants you to know is in this book. You say, what about the book of Jashar? You know, well, you don't need it. Whatever you need is right here in the book. It's the Textus Receptus in the Greek text, and it's the Masoretic text in the Hebrew. And there's some other, you know, Aramaic and so on and so forth. But that's about it. So you don't have to learn a lot. You just have to learn to read it. Get it right. So I can't read on that whole page there about kill all these people. Because then it says right here, to Machir I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory from Gilead as far as the valley of the Arnon. This is all geography, but I won't teach you the geography today. But with the middle of the valley as a boundary, as far over as the river Jabbok, or Jabbok, the boundary of the Ammonites and the Arabah, also with Jordan, and the boundary of Kinnereth, as far as the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea under the slopes of the Pisgah on the coast. You don't want me to explain that. I could. All I do is make a big chart and make a map on it and show you where all these places are. But you don't need to know it to get saved or to be sanctified or to be glorified. So only this. Just translate the whole Bible. I taught my kids this from the time they were little. If you don't know, just say Jesus. And I'll be happy. And so they say, Jesus. And I did that because I'm a good father. I don't want them to be puzzled over anything. And I didn't explain everything. I just said, go and do this, or whatever. And I didn't explain anything. And if they were misbehaving, I put that child in the back seat and didn't explain where we're going. And I just drove out in the country for 3-4 hours. And they were quiet after that. And if they wanted to tell me anything, they'd tell me. Because normally they're just there and they don't know why they're there and how far it is and they don't know anything. I never explained it to them. But it does quiet them down. Especially if they've been at somebody else's house, they're going to be energetic and, you know, full of Cokes or whatever, you know. I didn't want that. So I just sit in the back of the seat. Well, then they grew up. If you meet any of my kids, they're wonderful. Because they don't have two agendas. They just have Jesus, because I taught them that. All you need is Jesus. You just say Jesus and I'm happy. So I lost on the obedience side, but I really gained on the gospel side, because they realized, just say grace, grace. And Margaret is just awesome. She's awesome. She said, Dad, don't forget you love me. Okay. Well, that means she wants something. And so she wants to go to this place or that place. So just don't forget that, Dad. Just like Jesus forgave you, you need to forgive me and do what I would like today. And I didn't correct them. I just simply said, that's fine, but no. I'm not going to do that. I always said no. Why do you say no? Because I want to find out how much you really want this. And when Kara got married, when Kirsten got married and so on, it wasn't hard. Because I don't believe in labor. You remember it says in the Bible, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So I'm a total rester. And that's why you come to church, fall asleep. Because I'm going to say the same thing every week. It's good news. It's good news. So everything is fun. It's exciting. Because I don't believe God can lie. I don't believe that God would ever do any harm to me. I don't believe God. It's in the Bible. He's wonderful. So everything he's saying here is the gospel. It's good news. And I commanded you, remember that word command, at that time saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. It'll be your possession. And all your men of valor shall pass over armed before your brethren, the people of Israel. But your wives and little ones and your cattle, I know that you have many cattle, and shall remain in the cities which I have given you. Remember this word given. Everything is given. Until the Lord gives you rest to your brethren and to you. And they also occupy the land which the Lord God gives beyond the Jordan. And then you shall turn every man to his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time. Joshua is the same as Jesus. It's Yeshua. So Yah, Shua, it's the same thing. Yeshua, it's the same thing. It's God, loves you. And so when I heard that, being a pagan, when I heard that, I realized, wow, God wants to give me everything. In fact, himself. And if you have Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Whatever the Gentiles, you get that for free. You don't have to pay for it. I'll do it. Wow. So he's giving them the whole land of Canaan. And it was a corrupt land. And he gave them the wrong land. But remember, underneath the law is the gospel. So the reason he gives you something is because it's good for you. So it's good for you to suffer. Don't you rejoice when you're suffering? Don't you rejoice when you're suffering?
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. But you want to say no. Because you think man can help you. Or you think you can help yourself. You're wrong. You cannot do anything. All you do is praise God. Give thanks to God. He dwells in the praises of his people. Praise God. Thank God. He's totally on your side. So whatever you've done, you didn't do it. He did it. And he wants you to prosper in this world. He wants you to be happy in this world. So I don't do any work because he does all the work. And I believe that Jesus loves me so much that I'm like his child or like his beloved or whatever he is. But I know one thing, it's going to be good news. So I'm not unhappy at any time, even if bad things happen, and they do. I thank God for that. Thank you for that. Something happened last night, and I won't explain it, but and then you had to deal with that in prayer. But within a few seconds, I'm happy again. But it doesn't take long. Something bad happened, really bad, but I turned it into good because God's word says so. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So I believe that, and I just operate that way. But I didn't really do it. I just simply thanked him for doing it. And so God will make a way when there is no way. Have you discovered that? And he'll multiply it. Not only will you'll win so big that even the enemy's land becomes yours. Everything that's done by the giants, you're going to inherit all that.
Hallelujah.
You'll inherit everything. And giants are really good because they build tall ceilings. And they have long beds. You know, and that's in this chapter, but by the way. Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, Sihon and Og. So will the Lord do to all kingdoms into which you are going over. You shall not fear them. Perfect love cast out all fear. Say it, I'm not afraid. I'll never be afraid. Because God said, you don't have to be, so I'm not going to be. And so I just say it, I'm not afraid, even though I am afraid. I'm not afraid because you said, say, I'm not afraid. So don't be, in other words, don't hesitate when God has you to do something, even if you get in trouble. How many sometimes people get in trouble? And it's so enormous, and he does that deliberately so that you suffer, so that then when he acts, you know, God did that. I didn't do that. I tried to find a way, and I didn't do it. But God showed me a way when there wasn't any way. Because God cannot be a bad father. He cannot be a bad husband. He cannot be anything that is anything except a beneficiary. You're his beneficiary. Everything he does is for you. Everything he always does is always for you. So don't see what you see, see what he said. Don't see what you see, see what he said. What he said is, this is the way I am. Don't ask to have it visible and show up and so on. Don't ask for that. Just forget that. God will do what he said. So whatever he said, he's going to initiate everything. That's good. Someday you'll be in heaven. You're not there today. You're not there today, but you have heaven in you. You have heaven in you. So why not thank him for the heaven in you?
Praise God.
And though it doesn't look like it, it is. It's always a blessing. Because he can't be otherwise. God cannot be not God. He has to be God. And he's the only one that's God. And I'm glad there's only one of them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the one. Because it's not like Aphrodite can't get along with Hermes and all that kind of stuff. We don't need that. Those other gods are not gods at all. They're nothing. Don't be afraid of anything or anyone. You have a God that wants you safe and secure. And don't worry about it. God's good. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Woo! That's pretty awesome. I besought the Lord at that time, Moses said, saying, O Lord God, thou hast only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as you? Let me go over, I pray, and see the good land beyond the Jordan, the goodly hill country, and Lebanon, the mountain. But the Lord was angry with me on your account, Moses said to the people, and would not hearken to me. Remember, he hit the rock twice. And the Lord said to me, let it suffice you, Moses, speak no more to me of this matter, that you can't go in. You're going to be on the other side of the Jordan. The lawman can't come into the land of promise. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward, northward, southward, eastward, and behold it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. You're going to stay, you're going to be buried right here. But he did go over the Jordan. And exactly the spot that is west of Moab, crossed over the river. And how did he do it? Because he had no problem doing it, because he believed another prophet God's going to raise up. I know you people are going to be cursed, but there's another prophet that's going to be up, and you cannot do what God told you to do, so you'll get all the curses. But don't worry about it, because another prophet, listen to him, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. And it's going to come at the end of time. It hasn't come yet. There's still, we're waiting for that. But it'll first of all start out with slaughter, and then it'll end up with blessing. Because I told you, under every law is a promise. So he will then destroy their sin, not them. Their sin. All he's going to do when they're destroyed is some will turn to him because they'll realize our pride got us nowhere. We just need to be humble, laugh, have a good time, praise God, and so on and so forth. They can't do it today because they're still trying to initiate something. You can't. God designed you not to work. And he gave you a will that will never go to heaven. He gave you a, everything you want to do, you're not going to do it. Because he's humbling you. He wants to humble you so that he can exalt you. He's going to separate you from your sin. Your sin is not you. He'll take care of your sins. He's the one that can deliver you. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's your bridegroom. He's your all in all. So everything you have, say that to him. He loves that when you say that to him. God, you're my everything. This is a wonderful day. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. God wants you to praise him every day because he dwells in the praises of his people. You want him to come close? Thank him, praise him, adore him, love him, follow him. It's easy because you don't have to do anything. He always does it. He tells you to do something that he's already done. He finished all the works of the world before the world began. Before. Prior to. And the only one alive then was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those are the only ones. And they had a little council. And he did all your works for you. So they're all been done. And now when you do them, you didn't do them. Actually, God did it. But you thought you did it. But you didn't do it. He did it. And so give him all the glory. Because all he's going to do with all the glory is just give it back to you as your inheritance. Everything is yours in heaven and on earth. Everything. Everything. Someday this world will pass away, but then a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll only be Christians. Christians. They won't be Jewish. They'll be Christians. But you'll be a new creation. Not Gentile. Not anything. And because of that, woohoo! I mean, how could you be sad about that? I know people are, but don't be, because you're looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Only look at this word. Just read this word every day, every day, every day, every day. Wow, I have to do it because I'm a pastor, but you don't have to do it. But I'm exhorting you, do it, because faith cometh by hearing. So everything is going your way. I'm not going to read anymore. I probably read more than enough, but if I would go on, he's going to talk about, pick out from among you, because Jethro, his father-in-law, said this to him. What you're doing is not good, he said. You're trying to have 3 million or 2.5 million people, and you're going to deal with each one every day. It's going to wear you out. How many of you know pastors get worn out? I never get worn out. I never. I can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and keep going. That's why you go to Africa. Because they've come 25 miles walking from down the mountain or whatever to hear the pastor. And they don't want you to have a 20-minute sermon. They want to keep going. Just keep going. Give us that good news again. They're ripe. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. So they like it. When I get up, I usually, you've been there in Africa with me, I want to shout the minute I get up, because they like that. They like, whoa, yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. And they just jump and have their hands out, and they don't hold back on anything. So they're not sober like Americans. You know, these are really people who really get excited. Because they traveled all that way and they're there to dance and sing and have a good time. But they like the truth. And they don't have any problem thinking because they don't even care. If they just pick up one thing, they're happy. They don't have to know the whole thing. Because there's nothing to know except Jesus. And so I have a shout, and people in Africa say, Could you give that shout like you did? Because you can hold it longer than anyone I've ever seen. Hallelujah! I keep going.
Yeah, that's fun.
And they like it. because it's like, hey, something's happening here. And it's good. It must be good. That guy seems to be smiling. And so they like to see miracles and signs, wonders, and so on. So I tell them that that's okay, but that's not the real deal. The real deal is Jesus. Just get Jesus, you get all that. And they have ears to hear and eyes to see because they have no hope in this world. They don't want anything in this world because they know it'll be just taken from me anyway. So they don't have any hope at all. But they have hope when they hear the gospel. Because they realize, hey, why would this guy come all the way from America over here? They don't even know where America is. I mean, they just like it. It just sounds like good. Because their pastors also yell and shout. You know, I don't know where they got it, but they do. They just do it. And they like to sing and sing and sing and sing. They're like Alex. Remember Alex when sometimes say, hey, have Alex, because he's so full of passion and he just wants to keep singing and singing and singing. And so, you know. And so they get excited. How many know God is good? Okay, so what did I teach you today? I taught you some things.
Fear not.
Don't be afraid, ever. So say it. I will not be afraid. Okay, God will take care of that. When you do it, you didn't do it. Jesus did it. And then what did I tell you about worship? What's the first thing you do? Enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
So it's the first thing you do when you get into God's house, because it's spiritual. It's not a physical house. When you get into God's house, the first thing you do is thank you for doing everything. And then the second thing you do, praise him. You thank him for what he's done. You praise him for who he is. His merciful, kind, generous, and so on and so forth. And then, in the Holy of Holies, you come out and love your neighbor. So, after you go all the way in to the Holy of Holies, outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies, then you come back out and love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because that's where God's going. He leads you in, then he leads you out. You're a sheep. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So everything is good. Who wants to testify? Alex.
Yeah, that's so cool. I didn't say it during worship, but I was like asking God, like, hey, God, what is there something you want to share with them? You know, people this morning, I got my own word, and then it's like, is there something for everybody else? He said the exact same thing. He said, fear not. For I am with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's it. That transparency.
Yeah.
From the very beginning.
Amen. It's good. It's good. It's not wrong to be happy.
Amen.
It's not wrong. You can be happy.
Amen.
You can be happy in the midst of a rotten world. Be happy. Yeah. Don't ever go by what you see. Go by what God said. God says it's all. It's all. I'm giving you everything. I haven't held back anything. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
It is so liberating to just say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is it okay?
There's no reason to in the natural.
No.
You know, but there is every reason to.
He loves it. That's the one thing he loves. Worship is the only thing he really loves. Even loving your neighbor, if you do the first commandment, you'll do all the rest. It's automatic. Automatic is not the right word. It's necessitated that if you start loving God, you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love another human being. You're going to love everyone you meet. And that's all. It's like having a brand new baby. You have a picture of that baby in your wallet and you just show everybody, this is my baby. But why hide it? You know, bring it out. You know, this is my baby. How many children do you have? Bunch. They don't have all their pictures in the wallet because it's only this thick. But all these babies, right? God loves babies. He's totally into it. Except you become like a little child. Who else wants to just brag on God? Boast on God? Yes. That is too powerful. That's too powerful. You see, the devil always is threatening you and, you know, so on. Don't pay attention to him. He has nothing to say. He has no words at all. God's word is the only thing that counts.
Amen.
and he says he loves you, he can't change his mind. Don't feel it. Don't understand it. Don't do anything. Now, the other thing is, if God's word is under the law, you that's why you need to read the law. Because that's good too. It doesn't look good, but it actually is good. So when you suffer, you actually are glorified. But you can't get to the glorified until you suffer. But you can't get to the suffer until you're dead. But you can't get to your dead until you're alive. So you're alive to die, to resurrect. In this world, not in the next world. Right now, everything's going your way. And anything that you don't have, claim that you have it by faith.
Praise God.
Because God is not a bad God, you know. But then, and as you claim it, then he'll say, yeah, I'll do that. I can do that. And so you'll see more miracles unless you say, well, I'll endure for a while. Hope it turns out someday. I hope my ship comes in. Oh, it's been a long time. When you do that, you're in doubt. But when you just believe what he said, you say it already. Well, I don't see it today, but hallelujah. I know everything's going my way. You just rebut it, whatever the enemy throws at you. Thank you, devil. I appreciate what you're doing. Really helping me is you're a liar. You are not my God. I have a God. I'm under grace. I'm not under your law. The devil is a legalist. He wants to say, look at what's happening. And you just say, I'm not going to. I'm going to turn my back on my problems and laugh my head off. Because you're not God. So you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everything is good. Julia.
So would it be correct to say, read the law to get free from the law because the gospel is hidden in the law?
Right. Yeah. Just say to him something like this. God, I'm going to read this thing until I see the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit wrote it. So it has to be good news. There's nothing but good news. There is no evil. You see evil because God, the devil is showing you the evil. It's in you and in somebody else. You blame somebody else. Don't do that. Just say, hey, everything's going my way because you said so. Woohoo! And he likes that if you sing. And you don't have to have a good voice. Just sing. Sing monotone. He doesn't really care. Because he's listening to your heart. He's not listening to your behavior. All right. So in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he distributed that bread to all of his disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is shed, or not shed, but which is given for you. So this body that he had, he laid aside so that then now you can say that. He laid aside his interests, his concerns, but he laid them aside and said, I'm going to go with God. And when you do that, and you're not counting that, you're just blind. You don't see anybody else's sin. You don't see your own sin. You just see Jesus' salvation. That's the good news. You see the salvation. Ah, that's yours. Don't ever let it go. Beholding him, we are changed. You're not changed by anything else. You're not changed because you go to church. You're not changed because you do a good work. You're not changed by anything. You're changed by one thing, God. He made a promise. He'll keep his promise. That's all. Promises create a right in the what you'd call the recipient. So if you're the promisee of the promiser, E-R, if you're the promisee, then everything he said is already taking place in heaven. You don't see it on earth, but it's taking place in heaven. He's testing you now. Because when you have a testimony, it's because you were tested. And got it tested, you just start praising God. Don't even wait for to see it. Just say it right away. God, I don't know what's going on, but I know one thing. Everything's going my way. Woohoo! And God loves that because you now can't be perturbed by anything. So everything that's going wrong, don't worry. God has a solution better than the one you had in mind. He's not going to replace it with something worse or equal to. He's going to place it with blessing upon blessing. All right. So everything's going your way.
Hallelujah.
All right. Okay. And he said, take, eat, because this is my death. Okay. Your death. But it's applied to me. You've imputed it to me. So now I'm dying. And I want to lay my life aside for my neighbor. You don't need it, God. But my neighbor needs it. So I can't give you because you already have everything. You are everything. But I'm going to do this because this is the end of the law. The end of the law is love your neighbor as yourself. And you've done now the whole law. So that's so simple, right? It doesn't seem like it's simple, but it is. Amen. You just go by what the word says. So, and then they then ate that bread. So now eat this bread. This is the true bread. This is the bread that's manna, but it's spiritual manna. It's not a manna that Moses gave you. It's a manna that God gave to you. So this food is your nourishment for today. And it doesn't matter when you do it, but whenever the body comes together. That's what he said. Well, we're together. So let's do it every time we come. And the Fort Worth church doesn't do this because there's too many and they eat up all the bread. No, that's not true. But everything is going our way, whether you know it or not. Now, in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, every one of them. And he said, this cup is the new covenant. Remember, how new is the new? It's not. It's old. It's actually the first thing God ever did. He did that before the foundation. So the new is actually older than the old. The old is not old at all. It's young. This is the new because it started the whole world. This is his favor. This is his love toward you. This is unconditional. So, and then this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you, his disciples. And more than that. And we're the more than that. So, and at many, for many who aren't even yet born. So here we are. Now we're still doing it. And hey, that thing has lasted a long time. 2,000 years. That's pretty old bread. And it's not even stale. And this cup is still fresh. The new wine hasn't been served yet. But it, actually, you can say it not right now. So let us now partake of this cup in remembrance of his death. Lord God, we thank you for the body and the bread, which don't make any sense in this world, but it does in heaven. And so we're pleasing you by doing nothing and just taking this gift, these gifts, this present that you have given to us. Now we've eaten and we've drunk and we're drinking that which is your life. What is the food but you're the bread? What is the cup? That is the Passover that sets us free. We're free. We're free right now. And everything is going to go our way today because it always does, because we just didn't have eyes to see. So give us new eyes that we might see what you've said. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Woohoo! Amen. It's good. You're a good people.